Heavenly Father, we're really grateful for Hawk and the fun it was, but also for all that we learnt. We pray, Father, that you would help us now this morning as we think about what it means to run that race with Jesus. And we pray this in his name. Amen. Well, Hawk was a great week. You can hear my voice is a bit gravelly because of all the fun and excitement I was having singing songs and trying to talk to kids in a crowded, noisy room. And I'm sure this will last not very long, but it's my badge of honour. I'm sure Hawk was good. If you've had kids who attended Hawk, I'm sure they're humming and singing songs that are going to bounce around in your head for a little while, and you've had a couple this morning. And the craft, of course, will last a few more days until you can close your ears, kids, before Mum and Dad can squirrel it away into the bin. No, it'll last forever, till next year. But this year, I wonder if you can guess what the theme was as you look around. It was the Olympic theme, running the race. Now, I'm so far from the pulse, I didn't even realise the Olympics were on this year. But thankfully, Lisa is far more on board. There is actually another competition on at the moment as well, Euro 2024. Finals tonight, England are in the final. I'm sure you're all going to be cheering for them alongside me, hoping they will win, bring football home. And as you consider this theme of the Olympics and competition, it's all about getting the prize, isn't it? As the drama kind of helped us see, we keep going to finish the race to get the prize. Everyone's striving to kind of finish their race to, well, ideally take home gold. And we see this in other areas of life as well, don't we? Where we strive to sort of finish the race to take home the gold. Hashtag winning. It's the kind of idea, isn't it? That hashtag when you want to describe when things are going well for you. Found 10 bucks on the floor, hashtag winning. You know what I mean? What does it look like to be hashtag winning at life? To be doing well at life? To be living the good life? What does the good life look like? That life that has the crown of glory. Is it success? You know, the success in all areas of life? The successful career where you're kind of climbing that ladder, you're getting the accolades. The successful home where you've got your forever home and it's all perfectly sorted out and you just get to enjoy it. The perfect holidays where, you know, you're getting those overseas trips where there's that perfect blend of culture and relaxation. The perfect friends and family around you who support you and love you that kind of make life full. What does the good life look like? Does it look like ticking all those boxes? Because when you consider those things, do you think you'd win gold in any of those categories? Career, work can be hard and frustrating, never achieving what you'd hope to. Don't think anyone ever finishes their to-do list, do they? And that nice home that you know, your forever home, always needs things fixing, doesn't it? Holidays end, as perfect as they may be. And friends and family can disappoint. If we were in a competition and it was about winning the best life, if we're honest, none of us would be doing very well. Lots of things in life get in the way of living that hashtag winning life. We aren't perfect. We make mistakes. We do things that can let other people down. We can be selfish and grumpy. And the Bible describes these sorts of things as sin. Living in a way that's unloving. Living in a way that's not as God our Creator wanted us to live. And even if we don't mess things up ourselves, we know that even the best things don't last. We all die. No one wins in the end. Death is the only winner. Sin and death are problems in our broken world that stop us from having that victorious life that we dream of. Problems that plague us because humanity, we all have turned away from God. Though he's the one who made us and gives us life, we generally don't give him much thought. God is the source of life and blessing. But we often ignore him and shun him, don't we? Just wanting to do what we think's best. And then we make a mess of things. And so you might think, well, why do we need to listen to God, listen to all his rules? Won't that just stop all our fun? But that's to make a mistake about God. God wants what's best for us. He's not like some humbug. He's not the fun police. Think about one of the stories from the Bible. Jesus attends a wedding. And instead of letting this flailing party die, he steps in to take the party to a new level. Jesus even said he comes to offer life to the full. The blessed life, the best life. So if God wants us to live that, you know, that winning life, what does he say it looks like? What is God's view of the good life? Or are we all destined to lose because of sin and death? Well, as we saw in the week, it's all connected to Jesus. As I spoke about earlier, we might think that our general direction with life is a winning direction. You know, though we struggle here and there, we do pretty well. You know, these moments of hardships are just a little bumps on the road, but eventually we'll make it to a pretty good spot. But the Bible tells us our position is worse than we think. Our default is not winning, not generally going to get there in the end, but losing. That's what that passage we had from Ephesians describes for us. It tells us that we're dead in our sins. That is, because of the way that we have ignored God, we've turned from the source of life and blessing, well, all that's left is death. We are dead. We are dead people walking. No hope. Not exactly those who are on the winning team, is it? In the race of life, there's no way we're going to finish the race, let alone enjoy the celebration for finishing the race. And worse, there's nothing we can do about it. Dead people can't fix themselves. We cannot win in life. But the second bit of that passage in Ephesians gives us some hope, doesn't it? Though we were dead, because he loves us, God made us alive. And it uses that image of bringing the dead back to life, like the doctor using those paddles to restart someone's heart and bring them back into the world of the living. The person who's sick, who's lying on the table, can't do much for themselves. They have no hope, like us in our sin. They need the doctor to act, just like we need God to act. And the amazing news is that God has acted. He's put those paddles on our chest and he's shocked our heart back to life. And he does that because he loves us. We don't bring anything to the table. God acts out of his kindness. So the passage says, it's by grace you have been saved. That is the undeserved kindness of God, like getting a present out of nowhere, some flowers or a delicious piece of cake, just because. God saves us because of his kindness. It's his gracious act. And Ephesians also tells us, how can we, you know, access this gracious gift of life? That it's by faith we're saved. That is, we're saved as we trust Jesus to save us. Like putting up your hand, and I hope no one's been in this position, when you're drowning in a rip. You just put your hand up and you trust that the surf lifesaver will pull you out and save you. You're struggling, you can't do anything. They're the one that needs to pull you, but you just need to hold your hand out and trust them. We bring nothing to the table but trusting Jesus to save us. And Jesus tells us that he will save all who come to him. So despite our sin and failure, we are able to win at life because of Jesus. Because he wins the race, we also win the race. It's kind of like these brothers. I don't know if you've seen these pictures before. This is Pedro and Miguel, are kind of known as the Iron Brothers. Pedro has cerebral palsy. He's unable to compete in sports and races though he'd like to. So his brother Miguel helped him complete a triathlon. They completed it together. Miguel pulled him in a canoe in the swim. He dragged him in a trailer on the bike, and he pushed him in a run. Because Miguel finished the race, Pedro finished the race as well. Same for us. Because Jesus has finished the race, if we trust in him, we will too. As we trust in Jesus, we win. But it's even greater than this, the picture of these brothers. Jesus doesn't just help us finish the cross line, give us a helping hand across. We're dead. There's no way we can cross the finish line. But instead, Jesus finishes the race and then he gives us his medal for finishing. We win only because Jesus Christ offers to share his victory with us. And so as we trust in him, his victory becomes ours. His good life, his perfect scorecard, is given to us. And he deals with our failed scorecard. And so what does it mean to live the good life? Well, the Bible tells us it's being on Team Jesus. If you aren't yet on Jesus' team, you need to be. You need to trust in him, to put your hand up so that he might save you, that he might carry you across the finish line, give you his medal, his good standing with God, that you might enjoy life and blessing in him. And there's more. We know that we have run the race because we know, as Hebrews tells us, Jesus is the pioneer. He has gone before us. And so anything that will happen to him will happen for us. And we know that where is Jesus now? He is risen from the dead and is in heaven victorious. We know that Jesus has definitely won. And so if we trust in him, we will win as well. That's how we win. But the other thing we considered at Hawk is that though trusting in Jesus means that we win, it doesn't guarantee a super easy life in the here and now. That is the life to come. So for now, we stick with Jesus and we persevere with him. Throughout the week, we consider what it means to stick with Jesus. Now, I've been thinking about the Christian life as a race. But the race is not a sprint. It's not the 100 metres. It's a marathon. That's the picture we see in our second reading in that Hebrews 12 passage. The passage describes life as a race, running the race marked out for us. And that picture of the picture is of that final section of the marathon as the runners enter into the stadium and hear the roar of the crowd, cheering them on to finish. And the passage gives us a few lessons about how to stick with Jesus, lessons that we learned in the week. First, we expect the race to be hard. Life is a race, and it's a long race, like a marathon. But it's actually trickier than a marathon, speaking as one who's never done a marathon, because life is trickier, isn't it? It's like a tough mudder race. These were in vogue a while ago. Kids, ask your parents if they did one. They don't seem to be as popular as they once were. Basically, tough mudder was this long race with obstacles and, as you guessed from the name, lots of mud. Following Jesus is a long race with obstacles. It's hard. That's why in Hebrews we're told to persevere. We expect it to be hard, and we need encouragement to keep going, to keep sticking with Jesus. Think about it. Jesus is the pioneer of the race. That is, he ran the race before us. We follow in his footsteps. And so what was his race like? Well, Hebrews reminds us. He endured hardship, suffered and died on the cross. Following Jesus will be hard, so we're told to stick with him, being prepared to persevere. Get ready for a hard run, not a gentle stroll. Second, we have help in the hard race. Jesus is the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. He's the one who not only sets the path, but helps us on it. Ensures that our faith is perfect, that it's a faith that finishes the race. And Jesus does that by giving us his Spirit. Jesus told his disciples that he would send another helper, God the Spirit, to be with them and to help them follow him, to empower us in the race. It's like a race support team, giving us water on the way, fixing up broken shoes, giving us words of encouragement to keep going, strategies. God has our back in the race. He comes to be with us, to help us stick with Jesus. And part of that, how he does that through the Spirit, is to do with hearing and talking to him. One aspect of the Spirit's role is to help us hear from God, to understand God's word to us, the Bible. It's like the advice the race coach gives us on the way. Another aspect is to speak to God in prayer. The Spirit brings our prayers to Jesus, who pleads to the Father on our behalf. So in sticking with Jesus, we need to be listening to God and his word, and asking for help and relating to him in prayer. That's some of the toolkit we saw in the week. Third, we have help in the race from each other. Hebrews paints that picture of that cheer squad, doesn't it? Encouraging people to keep going, as we saw in the drama, that encouragement to keep going. And we looked at some encouraging examples of those who stuck with God, as you can see on the wall there, in the week from ages past in the Bible. But not only do we have examples and encouragement from those in ages past, but from each other now. God has saved his people to run the race together. It's not like the Olympics where you kind of compete by yourself in, you know, lots of races. But it's like the Tough Mudder. It's like putting a team together who help each other in the race. In the church, we have the gift of one another to help us through the race, to give each other a foot up, a hand to grab each other to help us scale the obstacles of life. So if you're not yet part of a church, why are you struggling by yourself? Join the team so that we can help each other in the race. Join us here at St. Mark's as we encourage each other on in the faith. And remember, as we do all these things, as we stick with Jesus, we remember that it will be worth it. We get that prize. Jesus ran the race for the joy set before him. It might seem like a hard slog at times, but remember the example of Jesus. He endured the hardship of the cross. He persevered through suffering. And because he did so, he entered into the joy of his Father, seated on the throne in heaven. And if we stick with him, that's what awaits us as well, to enter into the joy of our God in heaven, where we will experience everlasting life to the full. The best life there is. It's like the reward at the end of a race. A mate of mine some years ago signed up for his first marathon, and he knew that to persevere through the marathon, he needed to know that the reward was coming. So he arranged the race on the Gold Coast and arranged it around a holiday there, you know, so that he could hobble around all the theme parks with the runner's limp after the marathon. We stick with Jesus because we know the heavenly reward is coming. We can be sure of it because we know that Jesus is already there. He's beyond the finish line, cheering us on. And so if we stick with him, we will be there too. Let me pray for us in light of that. Heavenly Father, we thank you that despite our inability to live the best life, you sent your Son Jesus to live it in our place, to save us from our death in sin, that we might have life to the full in him. We pray, Father, that we would put our trust in Jesus and stick with him, and that we would encourage each other as we do that together. And we pray this in his name. Amen.